Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I'm happy to have Japa Kaur as my guest today. Japa Kaur is a singer-songwriter that grew up in Maine with a musical interest that started with the piano at age 6. After high school, she traveled west where she studied communication, music, and studio art at Stanford University. Japa was intrigued by the antics of the Stanford band and decided to learn the trumpet when she joined their ranks. A friend she met at Stanford inspired her to learn to play bass guitar and start a rock band. Japa was then inspired to do a cross-country open mic tour with a guitar player friend, during which she enjoyed playing her bass guitar and singing. The songs The Donut Shop and Fairy Tale Story were written just before the cross-country trip so that they would have something to play. This was the start of Japa's songwriting career. Japa's band, Down in Front, performs at local venues in the Bay Area. Japa also plays accordion in a polka band called the Big Bang Surfers, and she is a participating member of West Coast Songwriters, who enjoys performing at the competitions at Phoenix Live in San Rafael, California. During the show today, you'll get to hear The Donut Shop, the title song from the band's album. It's a fun song, and I'd love for you to hear it. Please join us for a fun conversation about how you can live your music. Welcome, Japa.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here, Margot.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you on my show. You are such a great example of someone who is living their music in a variety of ways. I'm so curious to hear more about your story. So you play a number of musical instruments. Tell us about your musical journey and how you came to play all of these different instruments.
Well, I started taking piano lessons when I was really young, like 6 or so. And, just kind of really had fun with it. And, my parents encouraged me and grew up with the piano. And then when I went through grade school, I joined the school band playing clarinet and had fun doing that. And that was fun, playing with a group. And then when I got to Stanford, I remember my freshman year seeing the wacky Stanford marching band all decked out in crazy wild outfits and playing on the lawn and having a blast. And I'm like, that looks like a lot of fun. And I had upper class dorm mates who said, don't join the band. Those guys are crazy. It's a wild bunch. But by spring quarter of my freshman year, I was like, no, these guys are having too much fun without me. I need to join this group. And I showed up one day and they asked me what I wanted to play. And I said, how about the trumpet? So they gave me a trumpet and taught me how to play, and had a blast, playing with the band and traveling around. And then, a girl I met my freshman year lived across the hall from me. She just one day said to me, hey, you want to start a rock? Let's start a rock band. And I said, awesome. Yes, let's do it. And so she just went to the music store in Palo Alto, bought an electric guitar, came back. And so for a while, we were kind of doing this guitar trumpet thing, which was a little bizarre, but our spirit was there, and we called ourselves Eating Like Truck Drivers. That was the band's name. And then we kind of realized it was like eating like truck drivers. After my junior year, I was like, the trumpet thing isn't working out with the rock band. How about I play the bass? So that summer I walked into a music store and walked out with a bass guitar and a little amp and a book on how to play the bass. And so that summer I kind of taught myself the bass, and while doing so, we hatched this plan to go cross country from Maine back to Stanford, touring open mics. And so that's when we're like, well, we need some songs. So that's when I first wrote The Donut Shop. That was 20 years ago. That'll be 20 years ago this year.
Oh, my.
And that kind of became sort of our anthem song. We always kind of opened with that one. But I remember I videotaped myself on a VHS cassette and sent it to her because she was still in California, so she could hear the song and practice it so we could get ready for our tour. But
it's so funny how different it is these days, you know, with being able to record it on your phone or something. You know, there's so many different things that are available now that weren't there. So that was between your junior and senior year at Stanford that you did this open mic thing across the country?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. What an amazing thing to do during your between your junior and senior year at college. That is wild. So the song The Donut Shop is the one that I have queued up to play. Is there? Do you want to say a little bit about it before, and then we can talk about it after I play it, or do you want to just get started listening to it?
I say just play it. Let's hear the song.
Okay, all right. This is The Donut Shop by Japa Kaur. It's a little over 3 minutes, and I'm going to start it now. We'll talk about it after the song. Japa. That song makes me smile. It also usually makes me giggle a bit, but I was trying to be quiet so people could hear the song, and I managed to make it until after. Oh, my gosh. Tell us a little bit about the lyrics to that song. I mean, donuts and men, it's obviously about both. So there's got to be a good story that goes with that song.
Well, it's funny, you know, growing up in Maine, there wasn't a lot to do for someone who was, you know, kind of underage. You know, you couldn't go to a bar at night. There wasn't much to, you know, where do we go at night, you know, as teenagers or whatever, you know. We have our license, but we can't, you know, go to clubs or anywhere. So, you know, we could drive to L.L. Bean. They were open 24 hours a day and, you know, bounce off in a hall. But, you know, we ended up at Dunkin' Donuts. That's where we would go to, like, hang out. And at night, you know, just to kind of get away from our parents. And so, I don't know, the donut shop was, you know, kind of a place where we'd just, you know, congregate. And so it was, you know, a kind of a part of my childhood in a way. And so I remember coming to California. There aren't really Dunkin' Donuts out here. There's not that same kind of... thing going on the way it exists on the East Coast. But anyways, I mean, and then the guy thing, it was kind of like, wow, there are all these beautiful men around us, you know, here Susan and I are at Stanford, and gosh, you know, but neither of us were having much luck in the dating scene, and it was kind of just like, what's going on, you know, what's wrong with us? And it's like, why couldn't this be so much easier? You know, there is a rumor at Stanford that, you know, people don't really date, and it's kind of true. Everyone's so into their studies and, you know, building their careers and whatever. But so, yeah, that was kind of our frustration. And that's how the songwriting kind of blossomed. It'd be like another, you know, dude, another heartbreak, another frustration. Oh, another song, you know. It's like the next dude, the next fantasy, the next, you know, love, and the next heartbreak. And, oh, another story, another song. And so that is, you know, so many donuts, so few days. So it was like, so every song is like another donut, another guy, another dude. Yeah. So, and then we, you know, we justified it like, oh, well, we got to have this rock star life, and, you know, it's a way to keep the song material coming. You know, if we had this nice, wonderful, steady relationships and happy connections, then we probably wouldn't have all these great songs. So.
Yeah, it is interesting because there are a lot of songs about heartbreak and about relationships not working out and that sort of thing. And I guess that part of it is that people can relate to that because they've been through it, and it makes them feel like they're not the only ones. Yeah.
But we like to definitely throw in the humor, you know, just to keep it light and keep it fun. Like, hey, you know.
Well, that's one of the reasons that I wanted to have you on my show is because I had seen you perform a couple of times for West Coast Songwriters up at Phoenix and San Rafael for our monthly competitions there, and I loved your sense of humor. You know, I loved watching you perform and do the songs, and I also loved the humor. And then this last time that you were up there was you did that song Little Kitty, I think it was called, and that was so funny because I signed you up to do the song, and I had no idea what it was going to be about, and that was really fun, too. Do you want to tell people a little bit about that song, Little Kitty?
Sure. Yeah, that's a fun one. I tell people, you know, my greatest love right now, it's actually... you know, is my car. I call it Kit, named after the car on Knight Rider. You know, I often say, you know, if I ever had a kid, I might love the kid maybe as much as I, you know, love my car, you know. But anyways, you know, my car is a lot of fun and fun to drive. And so I was like, oh, I should write a song about Kit. So yeah, that's Little Kitty. So
I definitely want to hear that again. So, you know, I hope you come back to West Coast Songwriters in San Rafael and you play that one again for us because I'd really like to hear it again. So, now, describe some of your favorite musical moments or musical highlights of your life so far?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I mean, definitely there are many, you know, depending on where I was in my life. You know, in second grade, I played the entertainer on the piano for a talent show, and I won, and that was pretty thrilling.
That's great.
And I remember I won a gift certificate to McDonald's, and I never used it. I never cashed it, but I kept it. You know, it was like my trophy, my prize. Let's see. I mean, the Stanford band was just a hoot every time I got to play with them. But always a highlight playing with the Stanford band for me was we do this rally that happens around finals week, and it's our famous library rally, and we do it like, you know, kind of somewhere in midweek of finals, where we go around at like, you know, 10, 11 at night. And we're all dressed up in wild clothing, but we go to each library around campus, and we kind of sneak in, or we, you know, quote unquote sneak in, and then we kind of disperse around the library. We hide in the stacks, and, you know, some people under desks and tables and in the corners. And then all of a sudden, the drum major comes out of nowhere and blows his whistle, and then boom, we all like come out and just start playing, you know, blasting our horns at 1,000 decibels, you know, in the middle of the library, and everyone is like stunned, you know.
Yeah, especially in a library where it's supposed to be quiet.
And the best is one year we're in the 24-hour study room, which is like supposed to be like the most quiet, you know, place on campus, you know, where everyone's super studious. And we were in there. I remember I was on a table dancing, and, you know, this woman was like, you're, you know, people look up and they're kind of smiling, enjoy it, but no. Some people just insist on keeping their studies going, you know, like they don't even look up from their book, you know, like they try to pretend nothing's going on, you know, even though 100 horns are blaring and drums are, you know, pounding all around them. Oh, it's great.
That's so funny, you know.
And then, you know we play funny. We play like 2 or 3 songs, and then we're out. We disappear, and then on to the next library.
That is so funny because, you know, it reminds me of the movie Legally Blonde, which is one of my favorite movies, you know, because she's fun, and she's going to Harvard, you know, and the book was originally written about because this woman was going to Stanford. So that's, she decided to go to Stanford Law School because it was near the Stanford Shopping Center. So, yeah, I don't know. It's funny thinking about that.
Yeah.
Well,
but also,
you know,
playing with the band, we did the Rose Bowl Parade 2000. And by then I graduated, and I switched to the tuba, the sousaphone. And
that picture of you on the unicycle has the tuba, right?
Yeah. So I did the whole Rose Bowl Parade on the unicycle with the sousaphone. It was like 6 miles through Pasadena, but that was definitely a highlight. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe you.
So, that was in 2000. And then, it was that summer at Burning Man, I pulled the same stunt, but only wearing body paint and a pair of boots. And National Geographic was there, and they snapped a photo of me, and I ended up, getting pictured in National Geographic, playing the sousaphone on the unicycle.
August
2001. So
those are definitely some highlights. I can't believe it. You know, okay, now the time is going by really fast, and I would like to ask the questions for the people to think about during the show about what music they hear calling them. So everyone out there listening, think about the music you have in you and answer these questions. What music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. And Jaffa, I would say you are definitely enjoying your time on this planet. And because of all the fun that you have, I'm sure that that people have fun when they're with you.
Thank you. Yeah, I say I think that's probably true. Yeah. I feel very blessed also to be around some great people and fellow musicians that help inspire. And keep the laughter and humor and good times rolling.
Well, in your case, living your music definitely seems to have a lot to do with music. And I just loved your story about how you won that contest in second grade. Was there any time during your musical journey, though, that you didn't believe that you could do it, or that you had to overcome some beliefs and get going on it?
That's a good question. I will say, music's always been kind of the healer. I can think of times in my life where I've been really down. I lost a couple people close to me. And was really depressed, and I that's when my music, I feel like I really turned to prayer, and I think my music turned, I did a lot more sort of really got into the spiritual side of music and mantras and kind of brought in a lot of healing from the Kundalini yoga scene that I practice, and it was kind of the music that sort of lifted me out, really.
I think
it's a cathartic thing, just the feeling down and just writing about it and giving, it a creative outlet, kind of helps to clear the energy or disperse it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really true. So what advice do you have for our listeners?
Just do it. So many people ask me because, I also play the accordion in a polka band, and that's a total blast, and I play banjo and I play a little ukulele too. And people always ask me like, oh, is it hard? Is it hard? And that to me is always a funny question. It's like, nothing's hard. It's not hard. It's just a matter of just doing it, just applying the time, and the focus. So I say just do it.
I love that. Just do it. And the thing is, it's so true. I was just talking with our son about that very thing when he was up visiting. He's 27 now, and he's always loved music, and he learned to play guitar because Dudley, my husband, his dad, played guitar. And one of the things that he said about it is that people get jealous that they can't play like he can, but the thing is that they're not willing to practice. And that's a lot of what it is. It's hard in a way, maybe, but it's also a lot of it is being willing to put in the time to practice over and over again.
Yeah, and I would also say, like, don't worry about having to be perfect, or having to be some standard of perfection. Like, you can play two chords, three chords, and play, 90% of the songs in the world. You know what I mean? When like truck drivers went up on stage, I mean, we could barely play our instruments. We could barely, we were just, winging it as we went along. But it was like, hey, we're just going to do this anyway. You know what I mean? And we just had so much fun doing it. And that's the thing. If you're having fun doing it, the audience is going to have fun listening to it. They don't care if you hit wrong notes. You know what I mean? It's really the energy you're putting out. So you don't have to worry about it, if it's not perfect or if it's not ready for Carnegie Hall, it's like, just have fun.
Well, and that's the thing. I remember seeing a quote somewhere on Facebook that said something like, if only the birds that sang perfectly sang, there wouldn't be any birds singing. They just sing, or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was. But I mean, that's the thing that's so sad is that so many people are afraid to even try. I was afraid to try singing for years because my grandmother, I overheard my grandmother say to my mom that I should forget about singing when I was 12. And It took until our son was 3 years old when I finally started trying, you know, and it was the same thing, practicing with him in the car. He was 3 years old. He's singing the Aladdin songs. He's going, Mommy, sing with me. And I'm thinking, well, you know, he doesn't mind if he misses a note. He's not going to judge me. You know, I'm just going to have fun with this. And that's when I started singing again, was when he was three. So, you know, I think it's just something that can give you a lot of joy, having singing or music or both in your life, whether you do it for a living or if you just do it for the fun of it. Music and singing are just such joyful things.
Yep.
What?
Absolutely.
What? We've only got about 4 minutes left, and I still have some questions for you, though. So what's next for you, musically speaking?
Next I'd like to do some recording, some recordings, some mantras, some original stuff. Also we did, my current band Down in Front with Julie Andrews and myself, and it's probably not the Julie Andrews you might be thinking of, but another Julie Andrews, who's also a very talented multi-instrumentalist.
Uh-huh. Is that her real name?
That is her real name. That is her real name. Yeah. We're in the process of finishing up a music video to the Donut Shop, kind of as a tribute. And you know, there is a thing, National Donut Day, and National Donut Day is coming up right around the corner. It's June 2nd.
Cool.
And the past couple of years, we've gone around to donut shops around the Bay Area and on the back of a pickup truck and played music outside of donut shops for National Donut
Love
Day,
that.
Setting up the amps and drum set on the truck. So, for this year, I think we're gonna officially release the music video, which has been a long, long time coming. So that's kind of an exciting project.
I can't wait to see it. I have a feeling that's going to be really fun. I mean, how could it not be fun with you creating it?
Yeah, we've had fun doing it. So.
Oh, I just love that. I really do. I love that you're not only having fun, but that you're helping other people have fun and to learn from your experience. And oh my gosh, I'm just so glad that I decided to have you on the show. And I can't wait to see what you do next. We've got a couple minutes left. So what would you like to leave our listeners with? What would you like to tell them?
Oh, wow. It's not too late to start. I keep thinking, you know, I still want to learn, you know, the mandolin.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm not afraid to, you know, a lot of people think, oh, it's too late. You know, I'm like, definitely not too late. You know, and I kind of had a renaissance with the piano recently. I'd kind of, you know, let it go. But then I was inspired by someone else, this gentleman named Frederick Nighthawk, and hearing him play. And I was like, I want to play the way you play. You know, I want to do what you're able to do. So I just said, hey, do you do lessons? And about 3 or 4 years ago, I started taking piano lessons again. And it was
awesome.
So awesome. So great. And it kind of just opened up the piano for me in a whole new way that I never learned before. Because the way I learned before was kind of like, here's music, just follow the notes
right.
and play it. You know,
right.
But then I was chained to this music. And it was like, if I didn't have a briefcase of music with me and I had a piano, it was like, I couldn't do anything. And but Fred really opened it up for me in a whole new way, thinking about it in terms of patterns and numbers and very mathematical kind of approach, and that really spoke to me. And so now it's been one of the greatest gifts of my life, and so I'm really having fun with that. And it's like this whole new genre of songwriting and way of playing.
That's fantastic. So everyone, remember, it's not too late. And just
do it. It's not too late. Yeah.
It's not too late. And just do it. Oh, Jaffa, this has been so much fun, but we are going to be off the air in just a few seconds. So I just wanted to say again, thank you so much for living your music and for all you're doing to help encourage other people to live the music they hear calling them. I appreciate that so much, and I'm looking forward to seeing your video soon.
Awesome. Great. Thank you, Margo. It's been a pleasure for me, for sure.
Oh, thank you very, very much. Bye for now, everyone. Make sure that you do something this week to live your music. Bye. Bye, Japa. Bye, everyone.
Ciao.